The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
I want to share with you something I've learned this past week. Living in Louisiana is a very great lesson in how unexpected God can be. Because one week it will feel like it is 30 degrees and you are freezing, and the next week you will feel like you should be outside sitting by your pool getting a suntan because it's 85 and it's December. I don't know if anybody else has felt that that tension back and forth or not, but that was something that is amazing to me. Actually, I'm knowing that because that's everywhere in the South, it seems like. But, man, I hope you all have had a good week. I hope it's been a good Christmas. And this is, like I said, Rocky was talking earlier, this is that in-between week. And it's a hard week sometimes to think through and to think about because it's not Christmas anymore. But how many of you still have your Christmas trees up? All right, here's a better. Has anybody actually taken their Christmas tree down already? Okay, good. All right. If so, props to you. You're on the ball. But if not, then it's not Christmas anymore, but it's also not over Christmas, and it's not technically New Year's, and so you can't start talking about New Year's yet because we're still in 2025. And so it's kind of this weird in-between week. But also, as we come to the end of Christmas, something that stood out to me this year as we read the Christmas story over and over in different things was the unexpected things that God did. And so this morning, we all know that with God, God uses unexpected things in our lives, right? God used shepherds to declare the birth of his son. He used a virgin to bring birth to it. He used wise men to give the first gifts at Christmas. And all the different things we see, God doing all kinds of unexpected things. And so we know that God does the unexpected. And we, as Christians, as followers of Christ, should expect the unexpected. Because we know that that's what God does, is God uses unexpected things in our lives to draw us closer to Him. And so with that in mind, I want to look at a couple different stories today, but just look at some different things for as we go into 2026, and just to challenge you and to maybe encourage you with this. Expect the unexpected and lean into it. Every time God does something unexpected in our life, we have this choice. How many of you like plans to change? Oh, really? I thought somebody would die. I love it when plans change. You all are planned people. That's awesome. I like that. Miss Sammy always makes fun of me. I've got, I don't know how many calendars I have in my office, a lot. Because I like to know everything that's going to happen. I want to know when this is going to happen. I want to have it all planned. I love plans and details. So when things don't go according to plans and details, panic sets in. And I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do? This isn't what I had planned. This isn't what I had marked in my calendar. This isn't what I had anticipated. And so a lot of us are in that same boat. When something unexpected happens in our life, our tendency is to panic, to worry, to fear. And sometimes if we're honest, to doubt, to lose faith in God, even though we know God does unexpected things, our first tendency is to doubt. To doubt what God's doing, to doubt His timing, to doubt why He's doing things the way He's doing. But as we look at these several different stories, I want to encourage you in 2026 to lean in to the unexpected things that come in our life. Because those unexpected things can be from God, and God can use them in a great way. The first thing that I want us to think about as we think about God using unexpected things is God uses unexpected plans. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 13, Isaiah writes this, I will raise up Cyrus. In my righteousness, I will make his ways straight. He will rebuild my city and set my exiles free, but not for price or reward, says the Lord Almighty. To catch you up in what's going on in the nation of Israel's history, Israel has been in captivity. The Babylonian Empire came in, they captured the rest of Israel, and specifically the southern kingdom, and has exiled them, has sent them off into exile. And in this exile, what has happened is God has given the word to Isaiah, and he says, hey, listen, Isaiah, I'm going to raise up this guy named Cyrus. Cyrus is a Persian emperor. A Persian emperor, somebody who's not necessarily in God's realm of influence, you could say. It's not somebody who actually has any idea or knowledge or concept or desire to have a relationship with God at all. Cyrus, if there was somebody who was on the outs, it would be Cyrus. Now, it's easy to pick out who that guy would be, because if you just think about it, think of anyone in our world today that has zero desire, zero interest, zero care or concern for the things of God. You got somebody in mind who you can think of like that? There's military leaders, there's government leaders, there's neighbors, there's family members, there's all kinds of people in our life who we say, man, they meet that qualification. But what God says is, hey, listen, I'm going to cause him to succeed. I'm going to cause everything he does to be successful. Now, cool story, but let's be honest. When that person succeeds, what's the inside of us do? Dadgum rotten scoundrel. Why is he getting all the success? I'm sitting here loving Jesus, caring about what God does in my life, and this guy gets the success. He gets the promotion. He gets the job. He gets the car. He gets the good health. Our question starts to go, and God, why is this part of your plan? But remember, God uses unexpected plans. God uses Cyrus, he uses his success, he uses his military might, he uses his influence in the world in order to release his captives. So the people who Babylon has come, the nation of Israel, that Babylon has come and put into captivity, God is going to use this guy Cyrus to let them go. Not only is he going to use him to let them go, he's going to use him to build his city and his temple back. God's going to use the most disinterested person in him in order to accomplish the things that he wants done. This year, in 2026, when all of a sudden the plans don't go the way you want them to and unexpected plans come, don't question, don't worry. But trust God and understand that God uses unexpected plans in our lives. The second unexpected thing that God uses is this. God uses unexpected tools. In Numbers chapter 22, you find the story of a guy named Balaam. Balaam is sent to curse the nation of Israel. He's hired by one of the rulers of another country, and his whole job is to just put a curse, put bad news on Israel, and have them fail. In Numbers 22, you pick up in verse number 28, then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, what have I done to make you beat me these three times? Balaam answered the donkey, you've made a fool of me. Just read that one more time. Balaam answered his donkey and said, you've made me a fool. You're talking to your donkey, dude. You've made me a fool. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. And the donkey said to Balaam, am I your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I had the habit of doing this to you? No, he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. And so he bowed down low and fell face down. Capture the story. Here's what happens. This guy named Balaam is on his way to curse the nation of Israel. As he's riding his donkey, his faithful, steadfast, always tried and true donkey, to go curse the nation of Israel, the donkey keeps turning aside. The donkey keeps going off the road. At one point, he pins him up against the mountainside. He does all these different things, and he refuses to go forward. And Balaam gets so frustrated, so mad at this donkey, that he beats it three different times, just trying to get him to go forward. And he won't do it. And finally, God opens the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey's like, yo, why are you beating me, man? Like, what in the world? I'm trying to save your life. And Balaam has this conversation with his donkey. Now, this is to show you and I that God uses unexpected tools. Because how many of you have ever thought that something clever could come, or something wise could come from a donkey? There's another phrase, another way of saying that. I'm not going to do it in church. Duke set a good example for me. Thanks, man. But how many of you ever think that wisdom could come from something as stupid as a donkey? But that's the tool that God uses. Not just that. The story of Balaam is interesting, because what was Balaam going to do? Balaam was going to curse the nation of Israel. God uses a man whose intention is ill towards his people and saves his life. Uses a donkey to save Balaam's life. Why? Because God is interested in showing his infinite mercy even to the most undesirable of people. This guy was an enemy of God. If anybody deserved death, Balaam. Can I share something with you? We're all enemies of God until Christ comes. Paul tells us then that we were all enemies of God. We were all hostile towards God. We all had no desire to have a relationship with God. We had no interest in God. We didn't care what God did. We were actually actively against God. He said, I wasn't that bad of a person. Wisdom comes from darkness. Just remember that. You were. You were actively hostile towards God, but God desired to show his infinite mercy. Just like he did to Balaam and save you from your sins. Just like he was trying to save Balaam from what he was going to do. God uses a guy who has zero interest in him to show and shape and showcase his mercy. Then he uses a donkey. Now, why a donkey? Again, it doesn't make any sense to me. But there, it seems to be that there's something significant about the insignificance of the donkey. It would be an effective tool today if all of a sudden I go home and my dog Hopper looks at me and starts talking. I would take notice to what he had to say. I always wonder what his voice would sound like. I'd take notice of it. If an inanimate object started talking to you or I, we'd all kind of, I want to know what this thing has to say. But I think it's bigger than that. I think the reason God uses a donkey is because of this. To Balaam, the donkey was the most inconsequential thing in his life. He says, if I had a sword in my hand right now, I would kill you because you won't go the right direction. You're a piece of garbage. You're nothing. You're not worth anything. The thing that's not worth anything communicates one of the best lessons of grace and mercy of God. Now, for you and I, maybe there are some things in our life that seem insignificant. It's just a truck. It's just a job. It's just a phone conversation. It's just a message on Facebook. It's just this. It's just that. It's something that is so small and insignificant, it means next to nothing to you. But in 2026, I want you to see that there may be small, insignificant tools in your life that God desires to use to communicate a message of mercy, of hope, of love to somebody who needs to hear it. The insignificant tools, unexpected things that God likes to use. Maybe there's something insignificant in your life. And while it seems insignificant to you, it's the very catalyst of what God wants to use in order to share with somebody the hope that 2006 could have for them if they place their faith in Christ. The next unexpected thing that God uses is God uses unexpected people. In Judges chapter 6, you find the story of a guy named Gideon. Gideon is hiding and threshing some grain on the floor of a press. And an angel comes to him and tells him that he's going to be the one who saves Israel. You pick up in verse number 15, and Gideon responds and says this, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Man, I don't know if any of you are younger, you're the youngest sibling. The youngest sibling, man, you're just destined to be the uh-oh kid, you know? You're not the golden child. You're not the favorite one. I know Dad said that last time he was here. I've got it on video. I'm going to hold it over his head forever. But I know the truth of the matter. And the youngest one, we're kind of always thought of as the least, the runt of the litter. And I can almost hear these words of Gideon ringing in my ears. God, listen, that's cool what you want to do. Great, you want to save Israel. God, listen, I'm hiding on the floor separating grain because I can't go up where people can see me because they're going to take it from me. So freedom, yeah, bring it on. But I'm not the guy. God, listen, you want to save people? That's fantastic. I'm not the guy. God, you want to do something remarkable in Mooringsport? Great, but I'm not the guy. God, you want to do something remarkable in our world today? Great, but that's not me. That's somebody who's more qualified, who's better looking, who has the right words, who has an eloquent voice, who has a big budget, who has financial freedom, who does all these different things. That's the person you want to use, God, not me. I'm nothing. I'm nobody from nowhere who knows nothing. God says that's exactly the person I want to use. He wants to use the unexpected people. There are a million reasons you can give God as to why you can't be the one to do the thing He's calling you to do. God, I don't have the time. It's not my season. Somebody's younger, term. Somebody's older, term. God, I'm not the guy. I'm not the girl. I'm not the one you want for this job, God. There are a million reasons why I'm not the person you want. Can I share some insight with you real quick? Every reason you give to God as to why you can't be the one, He knew before He called you to be the one. You think when Gideon says this to God, God says, oh, my bad, Gideon. I didn't realize you were the youngest in your family. Can you go get your older brother? Oh, my bad. I didn't remember. Yeah, Manasseh, that's not the tribe I was trying to work through, Gideon. Can you go find somebody from another tribe? Think about Moses. All the reasons, all the excuses God gives, or Moses gives to God as to why he can't. And after every single one, God says, listen, Moses, I'm the one who called you. I knew all the excuses you were going to give me before you ever gave me one. Church, in 2026, God's not looking for the perfect person. He's looking for the person who's willing to say yes to whatever He calls them to do. Every excuse, every reason you can give to God as to why you can't do whatever it is that He's called you to do, He's already heard. And He still called you. He still wants you to do that thing. Because God wants to use unexpected people to share unexpected news with a world who needs to see it. God uses unexpected people in a great way. And this year, if you're willing, God wants to use you in a great way. Sometimes, though, God uses unexpected people, but He also uses unexpected callings. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, you find the story of Abram. This is the start of Abram's journey, start of Abram's next steps of faith. The Lord said to Abram, go from your current, from your country, your people, your father's household, to a land that I'll show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and I will bless, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. One of the remarkable things about this passage to me is this. God, the blessing comes before Abram ever moves. When you look at it and you read through it again, God tells Abram, hey, listen, Abram, this is what I'm going to do through you. The calling is here. This is what's going to happen. This is my desire. This is my plan. This is what's going to happen. But Abram still has to take the step, doesn't he? He still has to be the one that answers this unusual calling. Why would God want him to leave his people? Why would God want to listen? God, if you want to make me into a great nation, if you want to make me have all this different stuff and be so powerful and all these different things, shouldn't I stay around people that I should be around? God says, no, that's not my calling for you. My calling for you is to go. All this is going to happen, but you've got to be willing to go. This year, in 2026, Sometimes God's going to call us to do the least conceivable thing. But it's to push our faith where He wants us to go. It may seem like the worst time, the most unexpected circumstances, and the least possible solutions that God gives you. But that's God's invitation. That's God's unexpected calling on your life. It may be that there's a new opportunity that presents itself, a new job, a promotion, or something presents itself, and it doesn't seem like now's the right time to do this. 2026, God may be using that to push you into a position of faith where you have to trust in Him. And in that, you're going to see Him do remarkable things. God not only uses unexpected people with unexpected callings, but He also uses unexpected methods. In John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, you have this one of the most intriguing stories, I think, in all of Scripture to me. As He went along, He saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked Him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but it happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." You ever feel gypped in life? You weren't born in the right time. You weren't born in the right place. You weren't born with the right last name. You were born with the wrong last name. I was watching college football last night, and I was thinking, man, if I was only like 2 inches taller, and you know, I could have been an SEC quarterback. I could sling the pigskin quarter mile. I know I could have. I was 2 inches too short. 5'11", not tall enough to be an SEC quarterback. I was gypped by God. Those 2 inches ruined the trajectory of my life. And then I read this passage and I think about this guy. He was born blind. Not because of anything he'd done. Not because of anything his parents had done. There was no reason, there was no explanation other than that God wanted to manifest His glory in Jesus through this guy. I think about how many times this blind guy sat and begged by the temple gates and thought, "God, why did you gyp me? Why did you use this method? If you have some glorious plan, why does it have to mean my suffering?" Can I remind you that God uses the most unexpected methods? He did all this so that Jesus could prove who He was to a group of people who had zero interest in who Jesus was. Look around the crowd that is around Him when He does this. It's all people who aren't going to come to faith in Him. It's all people who are going to witness this miracle to see the greatness of what Jesus does and still refuse to believe who He is and still demand His death on the cross. This guy's born blind and lives his life blind until he meets Jesus simply so that other people could see how good God is and still turn away. See, a lot of times we want to think about the outcome. "I'm willing to do this, God, if I know it's going to be worth it." I don't know if any of you would dare to admit it. I wonder how many times somebody took an angel off that angel tree and thought, "I'm willing to do this, God, but that person better come to church on Sunday. God, I'm willing to bless somebody's family this year at Christmas, but in turn, I'm going to need to see some blessing back." God uses the most unexpected methods to get people's attention. And sometimes, it's not even the people that we think it is. God's method for this guy being born blind was so that he could prove who he was. Not just that, but the story gets weirder. He then goes on in John chapter 9, and in verse number 6, it says this. After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva. Put it on the man's eyes and said, "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." The word means sin. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Why spit? Why mud? I can't do spit. Ugh. Throw up? Doo-doo when you're changing diapers? I'm alright with it. I don't know if I can, what word I can say, but like that, I'm alright. Spit? I can't. Like, I have one kid who's not here this morning so I can talk about her. She loves to like lick her finger and like wipe her face with it. And every part of me just cringes. Because I'm like, you're just putting spit on your face. Why would you ever put spit on your face? I can't do it. And so this passage has always intrigued me because why in the world? He just proved who he was in the fact that this guy was born blind simply so that he could prove he's the Son of God. He's done miracle after miracle after miracle. He doesn't have to spit in the mud. Why? He could have just sent the guy to go wash in the pool without ever doing anything like that. But I think there's something in the name of where he sends him. God's not only concerned with the method, but he's also concerned with the fact that you're willing to go. See, if he would have just said to the guy, hey, listen, go wash, the guy would have said, well, why do I need to wash? I'm not that bad off. I'm sitting here, I'm pretty good, I'm sitting by the gates. People provide for me what I need, and now I'm all right. See, the idea is when something exposed and is put on his face and he has to wash that off, that's when the blessing comes. That's when the miracle happens. A lot of times in our life, God uses unexpected things. He brings this unexpected method, and all of a sudden, what seems like a mess, what seems like mud and spit on our life, God uses to push us to go wash, to go be restored, to go be cleansed, to expose sins, to expose a heart, to expose some issue or some problem that's going to be there that's deeper than we actually see. And until we get the mud on our eyes, we don't feel like we need to go wash. But God uses unexpected methods. The last thing that God uses as unexpected is this. God uses unexpected answers. In Acts chapter 12, verse number 5, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. We've gone over this in our Wednesday night Bible study, but so funny to me. The church is praying earnestly for Peter. But what were they praying for? Because then when you jump down and you read in the chapter 12, verse 13, Peter knocked on the door of the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rohab came and answered the door. She recognized Peter's voice. She was overjoyed. She ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. You're out of your mind, they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. Garth Brooks wrote a famous song, Unanswered Prayers. Can I share something with you? There's no such thing as unanswered prayers. God answers every single prayer you and I pray. We don't always like the answer. It may not be our timing on the answer, but God doesn't answer prayers. Sometimes God uses unexpected answers to our prayers. Again, we talked about this on our Wednesday night Bible study when we went through Acts. I guess maybe they were praying that Peter would be comforted in his final hours, that his death wouldn't be too painful, that God would miraculously somehow shield him from the pain of his ensuing death and execution, that he would feel comfort and peace in this night before his execution. I don't know what they were praying, but it's funny, the one thing they weren't praying for seems to be the one thing that God did. God used unexpected answers and said, hey, listen, you were praying for a miracle, and here it is. This year, I want to encourage you, church, as God unexpectedly answers your prayers, see what He's doing. See the miracle of it. Realize that sometimes He uses different things and different answers than what we would have. And listen, it may be all of a sudden a different realization comes to your mind. All of a sudden you thought this, but now you're thinking about things differently. God may be answering your prayer in a way that you never dreamed imaginable. And what you get to do is you get to sit back and you get to say, okay, God, I know you use unexpected things. And so instead of doubting, instead of worrying, instead of losing faith, I'm going to trust in you. Listen, in 2026, again, we've looked through this morning countless times, over and over and over again, where God has done unexpected things. And yet, in our life, the first time something unexpected happens, we doubt. We question. We sink back in fear. This year, may 2026 be the year that we don't just expect the unexpected, but we embrace the unexpected. Listen, when God wants to do some things that He's never done before in our community, in our church, in our fellowship, we got to expect it. We got to say, listen, a couple weeks ago, Ram Weekend, oh man, I lost his name, Adrian. Sebastian said, hey, we got this guy coming in to do worship. His name is Adrian Butler. He's out of Dallas. I said, cool. What's he do? Does he need like a guitar or anything? He goes, no, he's a rapper. He's a what? He's a rapper. I said, like a rapping paper? He's like, no, like he's a Christian rapper. Okay, man. If you say so. Man, I doubt. Look, he's not going to be that worshipful. He's not going to be that impactful. He's not going to leave a mark on these kids. He's going to get up there and sing some songs, do some jive dancing, and go on about his business. The other day we were up here cleaning up my kids. I was in another room and they were in here playing around like they usually do because they're pastor's kids and that's what they do at church. And from the hallway, I heard them chanting or singing, I know who I am. The devil can't tell me nothing. Over and over and over again. And it was a song that they heard at Ram Weekend. That's drilled in their head. They know who they are. That's impactful. Who am I to question the fact that, man, I've never worshipped to a Christian rapper before. But God uses unexpected things to do remarkable stuff. As a church, as an individual this year, in 2026, when the unexpected comes, embrace it. Let it strengthen your faith. And look to see what God's doing through this unexpected thing in your life. Father, we thank you for today. God, thank you for the unexpected blessings. I thank you for the unexpected things that you've done in 2025. Father, as we close out a year, there have been prayers we've prayed that weren't answered the way we thought. God, there have been insignificant tools that have come and gone and we've let them just pass through our hands without ever realizing the impact that they could have for you. God, this year, I pray as we look towards 2026 that you would open our eyes. Father, the unexpected would challenge us, would encourage us, and Lord, that we would see what you're doing in the unexpected things in our life. God, that they would result in us glorifying you, and Father, that they would result in our faith being strengthened in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.